you've heard my story many times before. In 1997 is when I first went to the prayer center. Hans was already there, and Teresa was already there. I don't know if we met the first, I don't know, I can't remember, but at some point we did meet. So we've known each other for like 30 years. At some point we met. This is the beautiful couple that that they were going to the prayer center before I ever started. Got to know them there, and God has been doing some powerful things in their life for many, many years. God gave them a strong call eventually to the whole, not just the one country, but the whole continent of Africa. Is that right? That's correct. And so I was asking him this morning, I said, how many times have you been down there? And he thought maybe 12, 13 times. But a strong call. You know, I went with Jim, Candy and I went with Jim and Kathy a number of years ago, and there was a call God said for me to go. And I said, Lord, I remember being at this altar, and Jim was inviting us, and I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what your will is. And the Lord said, I want you to go. And that was an experience, and we really, you know, experienced and just had a, it was really experience with the Lord. But we weren't called there, but there are those that are just absolutely, God gives a burden. And we did what we did then, but then there's those that, like Hans and Teresa, that God just absolutely puts a burden on their heart to just go and give their whole lives, in that sense of the word. Well, this coming year, and he'll tell you more about it, there's a big transition that is taking place. These are the people that a few years ago really faced death. They were physically assaulted. Hans and his brother-in-law, and I told you the whole story, and we prayed for them during that time. They were almost, at least his brother-in-law almost died, and Hans was very severely wounded because of those people that came in, and while they were down there and to the place, the compound where they were at, and assaulted them. And they were down there just preaching the gospel. And some, you know, somebody said, well, isn't God supposed to protect? Well, he did. He kept him alive. He kept him alive. And then if you have an argument with, like, well, I don't understand stuff like that. Listen, when you have those arguments, go to the book of Corinthians and read where Paul was assaulted. He was robbed. He was assaulted. And you just know that that was for the gospel's sake. It really was. And so we're just, these people are heroes of mine. They're champions. They're people that love the Lord and giving their life for the gospel. Tomorrow is their 30th wedding anniversary. So he called and he said, we're gonna be down there in that area. We'd like to come down there in that area. I said, well, you got to come by here and you got to share your heart. And you know, we've given to their ministry before in the past, and you've been very, very generous to help them. But they're not here for that. They're really here for the purpose. I mean, they're not here for that primarily. I mean, God's going to hopefully speak to your hearts. But they're here just to celebrate Jesus with us and, of course, celebrate their anniversary. So, hallelujah, these young whippersnappers. So I told him a few moments ago, I said, listen, I didn't tell you my office, but preach, pray, prophesy, lay hands on anybody, everybody, and, you know, preach as long as you like. It doesn't really matter. And he goes, well, this isn't Africa. I said, well, go ahead. I said, it may be a few hours from now. It's just you and I that are here, or maybe our wives with us, but still. So I'll let him introduce his wife because he'll do a much better job than that. But would you give my dear friend Hans Zanstra a great big warm welcome as he comes this morning?
Glory. Hallelujah. Am I on? All right. Praise the Lord. Man, it's so good to be at the prayer center again. Now, I haven't been here before, but the prayer center, we had the prayer center in Tulsa, and it's so good to be in the prayer center in Immokalee. So good to see all of you. Many of you, you may have seen me before. Some of you I've seen before, but we get to be here in person and meet you and greet you. We're so grateful for you. I'm going to let my wife come up and just say a few words, or as many words as she wants to, and let her greet you, and then we'll go on. I think it's on.
Hello? Oh,
nope. This,
there
you go.
There you go. We just wanted to come and just to say thank you for being faithful to support us, because we're only able to do what we do because of people like you who help us, who pray for us, and help us, you know, to avoid some of the stuff that we go through. When we were in Africa 4 years ago, some of the things that, like, you hear about when my brother-in-law got hurt. Okay, can you hear me better? Okay, so, like, a lot of times we talk about, like, what happened to Hans and what happened to my brother-in-law and the darkness, you know, that came and the things that went through. But what we don't hear about a lot, because I don't speak as much as Hans does, but what we don't hear about a lot is, in that midst of all of that, while we're sitting in a hospital room and we're seeing how badly injured they are, and people, pastors are coming in to pray for us and to support us there in Africa, because they heard about what happened. I found myself in a place where you could say, you know, well, I want something to happen to these men. You could say, like, a revenge mentality. And I found myself just overwhelmed with this. Well, I don't know who these men are. I don't know if I'll ever see them again, but Lord, I forgive these men. And one day I'm going to see these men on the streets of Migori, Kenya, preaching the gospel. I haven't heard anything about that yet. As far as I know, the police have never apprehended these men in any way, but one day I'm going to. And I'm going to tell you, when I did that, there was a supernatural peace, that peace that you just cannot explain, that just came over me, you know, and it sustained me for quite some time while I was there and got me through some of the things. Because my whole, from there, I had an excitement about getting out in the community, and my whole trip for me was changed, because now I'm staying behind to sit with my brother-in-law, you know, because he was injured bad enough that he couldn't be alone. And he couldn't really go out into the rural areas with us as much, because he needed to recover. And I just wanted to encourage you, you know, today, that no matter what you're facing, that positivity, you know, and just was only God, you know, that I was able to say, you know, Lord, I forgive them at that moment. And I didn't even know that I needed that level of peace, but God did. Yes. And we just want to say thank you once again for having us.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in this service and what you're about to do. And Father, we're just so grateful for your presence, for your anointing, for your healing, your peace. Thank you for settling us today, pray, Father, that you settle everything that's going on in every life that's here, that we could be settled in your presence. Prepare our hearts to receive everything that you have for us today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, some of you probably know the story of what Teresa was talking about, but we were robbed in 22 while we were in Kenya. I'm not going to go into that whole story, but there's a lot of interesting things that have happened in our lives, and this is one of those times. I say interesting. Obviously, it's traumatic. There's a lot of different issues with it, but you know, to watch God move and to see the prophetic steps of God in our life through the prayer center, through Dave Roberson and Dave Roberson Ministries, and then on into the ministry that we have today. It's amazing to watch how he has aligned us and correlated these things. And this is going to sound like a negative thing, and it is, but it's still amazing to me. The very day in 2022, the very day that we were attacked, those men broke into our home in the middle of the night, assaulted us, stole all of our belongings. That day, the prayer center Tulsa was shut down, that building. And the last place I preached before I left there was at the prayer center. And, you know, we were going home to a church that wasn't there, to a family that our family is still there. The people are still there. But it was a major shift in our lives and a major shift in our ministry. And of course, a major shift for Dave Roberson Ministries and the Prayer Center family and all of us. But I see how God allows us to participate and to be a part of what his plan is in the earth. And he's allowed me over these years to be able to bring a prophetic voice to what God is doing and to encourage and to strengthen the body of the prayer center and the body of Christ in general, but especially the prayer center. And part of what I'm going to do today is going to be to encourage you and to speak life into you. And before I get into all of those things, I just want to say one more thing, and I'm gonna share a little bit about Africa. But one other thing I just want to encourage you today. Oftentimes, we put a lot of pressure. Maybe that's the wrong word. We set an expectation on the minister that's bringing whatever he's bringing. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but what you receive from God today is not determined by me. What you receive from the Holy Spirit is not determined by what I do. But I want to encourage you today. There's been a few times when God has moved in a really tremendous way in our ministry. And one of those times I was visiting a friend, and he had me just share at his church, and just shared a testimony. And he said afterwards he was going to have me pray for the people. I said, okay. And the way he said it, it was almost like he was joking to me. You know, I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll pray for them if you want me to or whatever. Well, when the time came to pray for those people, we prayed for every person in that church, and we began to prophesy. And for about 3 hours, we were laying hands on people, and prophecy was flowing, and people were being healed, and amazing things were happening. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, why is it that you move like that? I didn't even go there to minister, you know? And he said, they put a demand on the anointing. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, put a demand on the anointing. Put a demand on what God wants to do and receive what he has for you today. Whatever it might be, I'm not saying I'm going to prophesy for 3 hours or anything like that. I'm just saying, let's receive what God does have for us. Amen? All right, so because I often I'll just get into what God is saying, and I'll not share a lot of things that are happening. And so I do want to have a 5-minute video. It was going to be 90 seconds, but I have a 5-minute video, and I've never shared this. I've never showed this video before. It's just the main reason for it is to say thank you for giving and show you what we've been able to do in Africa. It is going to give a little bit of what we're have coming and what we're believing God for. As Pastor Bronk said, we didn't come here to receive an offering. We didn't come here to try to raise funds. But just so you know, that's where we are. And you can always go to our website and it'll tell you the progress that we're making in the funds that we're raising for our ministry. So if we could you play that video that we had? Thank you.
Before we share what is ahead, we simply want to say thank you. Thank you for believing in the vision. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for giving. Your faithfulness has helped make everything you are about to see possible.
Through the years, your partnership has helped carry the gospel across Africa. You helped us board planes, ride trains, travel long highways, and follow difficult roads into places we could never have reached alone. We've traveled through Kenya, Uganda, and Cameroon. We've ministered in busy cities, in villages, local churches, in open fields, and remote communities. Sometimes the road was smooth. Sometimes it was covered in mud or blocked by animals or barely even a road at all. But every mile had a purpose. We went wherever God opened a door because there were people waiting on the other side. The places matter, but the people are the reason we go. Because you gave, people heard the gospel. Families received prayer. Believers were encouraged. Lives were touched by the presence of God. You helped us minister to children, adults, congregations, pastors, and leaders. Pastors were strengthened. Ministers were trained. Believers were discipled and equipped to carry the word forward to their own communities. Every face represents a life changed by the gospel. Every gathering represents people who are able to hear, receive, and grow because someone cared enough to help us go. Your giving has also helped a vision take shape at the Transformation Center in Nairumbo, Kenya. Water began to flow through the solar-powered pump and water tower. A worship tent provided a place for meetings, prayer, teaching, and ministry training. Fruit trees were planted, crops grew, maize was harvested and stored. Agricultural development created a foundation for greater sustainability. Fences and other property improvements made the center safer and stronger. Step by step, the land is becoming a place where people can worship, learn, grow, and be transformed. None of this happened because of one person.
It happened because people prayed, gave, and chose to become part of the vision. And now, what you helped us plant is becoming the foundation for what comes next.
In 2027, we plan to make Kenya our home. We will serve from the Transformation Center while continuing to travel throughout Africa. We will develop leaders, disciple believers, train ministers, preach the gospel, and strengthen local churches. Kenya will become our base, but the journey will continue wherever God opens the door. We believe the best is yet to come.
But taking this next step requires another season of partnership. Our goal is to raise $35,000 to launch us into Africa. We also need $4,000 per month in ongoing support. To everyone who has helped us come this far, thank you. Your prayers, generosity, and encouragement have already made an eternal difference.
Will you continue this journey with us? Will you pray for us? Will you consider becoming a financial partner? Will you share our story with others? You can follow our progress and become part of Africa 2027 at burningtruthafrica.com/launch. Thank you for helping us come this far. Together, the mission moves forward.
Okay, praise the Lord. So again, thank you. It's amazing. It's amazing what you have done in Kenya. Most of that you saw, the tent, the fencing, that we also put in a septic system, all of that was done. A great majority of that was done because of the offerings that you all have given us, and so that was absolutely amazing. As I get into the message today, I'm going to share a few testimonies of things that have happened in Africa, because I'm not much of a presenter, but I like to preach, and I can share some stories as I do it. So I prefer to do it that way and just follow the Holy Ghost and let Him minister. Amen. So as I was preparing this message, as I was preparing to come here, let me say it that way, because honestly, my wife, and I haven't told her this even, but my wife had been asking me if we could come to Florida and just to fellowship with Bronk and Candy and just to say thank you. And she must have said it 3 or 4 times to me, and I was like, yeah, you know, we'll do that someday. Maybe we can go to Florida. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking. And one day she said to me, and she wasn't nagging me. There was nothing contrary about it. And I don't remember exactly how she said it, but it was like, why don't you listen to what I said? And she said it in such a way that it was loving. It was like she was wondering, Did I do something wrong? You know, why did you not hear what I asked you? And so I was like, well, I don't know. I just don't know how to make that happen right now, you know. And anyway, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary tomorrow. And I was asking the Lord what I should do. And He said to me, He said, why don't you plan a trip to see Bronk? Now, that doesn't sound like a romantic getaway, but I knew that this was for my wife. It was for Teresa, and he said, if you do that, you'll show her that not only that you hear, but I hear. And so that's a part of the reason that we came. It is our anniversary. Part of the reason we came is to say thank you. But then as this all transpired, it wasn't a plan, it wasn't something that I had thought of, but the Lord started reminding me and showing me some things. I'll try to stay here for the camera, but is that okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, good. So at the prayer center, they'd always say, you know, I know we're going to get our workout today because I like to walk around. But as I was preparing to come, just things started to line up, and it was more than just a coincidence. It was like the Holy Spirit was starting to show me certain things. And I didn't really think about this, but this anniversary, while it is a 30-year anniversary for our marriage, it's also 30 years since we really made a commitment to be a part of the prayer center. And you know that Jesus' ministry started when he was about 30 years old. David became king when he was about 30 years old. And I believe that there's a significance in us being here today at this 30-year mark. And I believe that it's more than for me, but there's something that God is doing within the prayer center family. And I heard the word launch. I know that's for our ministry. I know that's for what we're doing. But I believe that it's also something that God is doing within the prayer center. When I was young, I met Dave Roberson. And I think most of you probably know who Dave Roberson is or who he was as the pastor of the prayer center Tulsa. And when I first met Dave, I was 19 years old. And my life was a little bit messed up. I grew up in a Christian home. I always knew the Lord, but I had some difficulties as a teenager and got into some worldly things and all of those things. And I had just moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was going to a school called Spartan School of Aeronautics. I had met Teresa, and we were in kind of a mess. By the time I was maybe 20 or something like that, Teresa was pregnant. We were not married. And again, with the background that I had and the Christian upbringing, there's so much guilt and condemnation. And it's like, this is terrible, but I didn't tell my parents until our son was born that I got somebody pregnant, you know. I just couldn't do it. I was like, what am I going to do? And in the midst of all of this, I remember this was the first time anyone ever prophesied over me personally. And I was in the line there at the prayer center in Tulsa, and Pastor Dave said one word, difficulties. And he said, difficulties, difficulties, difficulties. Difficulties arranged, difficulties taken care of, will put you in a place in the spirit where you can go where you want to go. And even at that time, I had already had an experience with the Lord, and God, I knew God had called me to preach. And he had already started talking to me about going to Africa, as a matter of fact. And you know, sometimes the dream and the vision that God places in you can produce a picture in your mind that's not necessarily what God has said it's going to be. And for me, I had to... That vision, that picture that I had created, it had to die in order for God to bring the actual vision that he had for me. Because I had a word from the Lord. I knew I was called to Africa in some way. As a matter of fact, at that time, what the Lord had said to me is, he said, I want you to go to Zaire, Africa. Anybody ever heard of Zaire? It's no longer a country in Africa. But it was at the time the largest country in the continent of Africa. It's now called the Congo. And as far as I was concerned, again, I was maybe 19 years old. I'm going to Africa. I'm ready. Somebody's going to bring me a ticket, and I'm going to meet somebody along the way, I guess. God's just going to, you know, make it happen. And when it didn't happen, I was discouraged, and I just said, I'll just, you know, continue trusting the Lord. And I went on, and like I said, that the ideas that I had to die. The things of my own flesh, the things that I wanted to produce. See, you can give a true word from God and still produce it in the flesh. You can have a true word from God and still fail because you want to do it your way. And we have to die to those things so that he can bring what his true purpose is. Many years later, I think I was 30 years old. We had a garage. In the rent house that we were renting, there was a garage that we didn't use as a garage, so it was just kind of a storage place. And in Oklahoma, it's a little bit like here. In the summertime, it's hot, humid, not nearly as humid as it is here, but we left there. It's 100 degrees right now, and it was one of those days. It was in August. It was hot. I'd put a little window air conditioning unit in my garage and made that my prayer closet because we had four kids in a small house and I didn't have many places I could go to pray. And so I'm out there praying. And the Holy Spirit gave me a vision as I was praying. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, just minding my own business. And I saw myself just sharing the simple gospel with this man. He was a black man. He had very little clothes on, and he was carrying something in his hand. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I've given you the continent of Africa. And when he said that, there was such authority in it. Immediately I came out of that vision, and I was shook. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't really know what to do with that. What are you going to do with a continent anyway? And so I said, I believe you, but you're going to have to help me with this, you know. And so I believe that the Lord was able to do that because I had given up my preconceived ideas. I didn't have any. And when he said that, I had no way of knowing what that was going to be like. It would be like Abraham, when God told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he hadn't even had a child yet. And so, but that preconceived idea that he had of no children and not being successful and not being able to have that, all of that had to come to an end. It all had to die in him so that that vision could come forth. Now, I realize he's under the old covenant, but it's the same principle that his vision had to change. God had to show him something else. And so many times, God, we need the Lord to show us that which he has for us. You know, there's something in here today. You're disappointed because you hadn't seen something come to pass that God had promised you. Whether it be a prophecy or a dream, a word. But do you know what? It's time to let go of what you had hoped would happen and allow God to show you what it is that he has for you. Then it's always better. And it's always beyond what we can do. If you could get it done, it's probably not from God. If you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need him. But because he's so much greater and so much bigger than we are, and because we like to use these very religious verses of, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man. But if you read that scripture in the New Testament, if you read that in Corinthians, what the very next verse says, but he has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. So it's not that we can't understand it. It's not that it's too big. It's not that it's too much. It's just that we have to realize that this is the God factor. You see, we oftentimes, we try to figure out how it's going to work in our own life, how we're going to make it happen. That was my problem. How am I going to pay to get to Africa? How am I going to, God, do you have any idea how much a plane ticket is from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Kenya, Africa? You know, I mean, these crazy thoughts that we have, it was somehow, I'll just use myself. I don't want to blame you. Somehow I get these ideas that I've got to bring to pass the vision that God has given me. And until I was able to let go of that and die to that and realize no matter how bad I want to do it, no matter how hard I try it, no matter what effort I put into it, I can never do what God says he would do in my life. I can't do it. He doesn't, and really the message that I have for you today, if I were to title it, I would call it the God factor. Because many times we understand our part. We know, especially at the prayer center, we know that we need to be praying. We know we need to be fasting. We know we need to be worshiping. We know that we need to be spending time in the Word of God, meditating and assimilating His Word. And all of those things are important, and please don't take anything away from that. That is absolutely necessary in our walk with God. But that is not God. That is the way that we prepare ourselves to commune with God. Really, even praying in tongues is not fellowship with God. It's producing a change in your life where God can fellowship with you. It's bringing you to that place where He can show you something. And many times we'll be praying in the Holy Ghost. You might be praying for hours. You might be praying for days. And God says to do something. And you go, well, you know, I need to pray about that. The whole reason we're praying is to get Him to come into our lives. And sometimes He shows up and we miss it because we have our own idea. Oh, I got to pray for this many hours today. Praise God, you should do that. But what happens if He comes into your prayer life and He says, I want you to pray for your next door neighbor. Or I want you to go and do this. Or I want or have this for you today. Are we sensitive enough, and have we allowed God into our life enough that we can follow His way and not our own? Thank God that we have been instructed to pray in the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm going to tell you, there's probably not anything that I talk about more when I go to Africa than praying in the Holy Ghost. And there's probably not anything that I've seen more than I've seen people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. The first time I went to Kenya, 2009, every place that I went, it started in the services. We would give an altar call for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean, almost everybody gets up, and I thought, isn't this a Holy Ghost church? Isn't this like a Pentecostal church? And sometimes there'd be 20 or 30 people standing to be filled the Holy Ghost. They just start speaking in tongues. They just get filled. And it happened so much that I was like, this is wild. We were at our hotel room, and there's a boy serving us breakfast, and I thought, I'm just going to try this out. I said, you ever heard of the Holy Spirit? And he's a good Catholic kid. He starts telling me about his Catholic beliefs. I said, well, have you been born again? He goes, no, I'm Catholic. But what I found out is it didn't mean that he wasn't born again. It was just their terminology. They have their born again Christians. And they have the Catholics. And it was a terminology thing. He did know Jesus. We made sure of that. And then I said, well, surely if you're in a Catholic church, you've heard of the Holy Spirit. And oh, yeah. And so anyway, let me pray for you. And I prayed for him. And he gets filled with the Holy Ghost while he's serving our breakfast. And he can barely carry the tray back after we're done because he's getting drunk in the Spirit. God, and he's speaking in other tongues. Everywhere we went, the workers at the house that we stayed, the driver that was driving us down there, every person was getting filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And it was absolutely amazing. But at the end, we were at a service, and there was a deaf kid. He's maybe 4 years old. And they said, you know, he's deaf. I'm like, let's pray for him. And so they bring him, and we prayed for him. And we were getting ready to get in the van to leave. And, they brought him to us deaf. And when we left, he was deaf. So, I was devastated. I was just beside myself. I thought, God, this kid's 4 years old. You know, and somebody I was with, I believe he's just being polite. I don't know. Maybe it was God. I don't want to say that it wasn't. But he's like, well, you know, as he dances and worships the Lord, his ears are going to open up. And he's going to hear. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. And God can move that way. But I am saying he wasn't moving that way at that moment. And I never heard that boy hear. And so I was telling the Lord, I was like, God, I came here to Africa where everybody has miracles. That's what I hear, you know. There's all kinds of miracles that take place. I said, why didn't we see this one? And he didn't really answer my question. But he did ask me, he said, with what were you sealed? And I immediately remembered the verse that says, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you know. And so he said, in the same way I sealed your ministry here. He said, what you left them was something that will develop them. And they'll walk into the things of the Spirit. So it gave me a little relief, but it's still something that we're contending for. We want, it doesn't lower the bar. We can't say, well, you know, they got the Holy Ghost, so that's good. No, listen, praise God, they got the Holy Ghost. That's awesome. But it doesn't stop there. We keep contending, we keep pressing, we keep going. But we have to have our faith in God. I love the faith message. I love Brother Hagin and what he taught us. And, you know, Tulsa is a faith city. Tulsa is, there's a lot of people that teach faith. Pastor Dave taught faith. But we can get so caught up in our own faith that we end up having faith in our ability to have faith. When Jesus said, have faith in God. See, we need to pray in tongues, but our faith is not in how many hours we can pray in tongues. We need to fast, but our faith, our expectation is not in what fasting will do for us. Our expectation is in Him and Him alone. The Bible does not say work to become a better you. We're not fasting so that Hans will be a better Hans. I don't pray in tongues so that I can walk in a better place as me. But the Bible says this. It says, I must decrease that he might increase. And the thing is, it's not, yes, we are becoming better, but it's not because of us, but it's because we become a new creation. And see, there's a teaching going around right now that, well, you know, you're complete in Him. And it's not just a teaching, it's what the Bible says. It's true. You are complete in Him. You've received everything. And the moment you got born again, you have the fullness of Christ. And that's wonderful and it's true. And I should say it this way, there's truth in that. But take that, get the deaf kid hearing. Let me see, if the fullness of Christ is in me, then he should be hearing right now. But see, the problem is not that it isn't there. The problem is that I'm still there. You know, I'm still in the way. Even though I've become a new creation, the old creature is trying to hang around. Even though the Bible says that I'm dead because of sin. There's a reason that Paul said I die daily, and it wasn't just because he had difficulties. It was because that work of the flesh has got to be put to death on a daily, regular basis. But at the same time, we cannot discredit the God factor. This is how the enemy likes to sneak in. You need to put your flesh down. So then there's this pressure put on you to destroy your flesh, to kill your flesh, to put the flesh to death. But the thing is, the flesh cannot eradicate flesh. See, Paul said, if you walk after the Spirit, if you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the deeds of the body or the works of the flesh. And he lists all of those works of the flesh. It wasn't an exhaustive list, by the way. Anything that is not in love, anything that is not being, anytime we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life, then we're letting the flesh have its way. And that's the problem. There's many Christians today, good, well-meaning, headed to heaven Christians, that have no idea what it means to follow the Spirit of God. There's some that believe that because the Bible says I have the mind of Christ, that whatever I do is the mind of Christ. But see, Paul said, put on the new man. And you see, there's a responsibility on our side to put off the old man. But even in our responsibilities, even in the things that we're following the scripture with, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. He wants to help you. As a matter of fact, you can't do it without him. He's there to help you and to teach you. Because the truth is, none of us really know how to put to death our flesh without the Holy Spirit, without his wisdom, without his help. Because, listen, I can't trust myself. A short time ago, I was on a fast. It was just a short fast, a few days, but I had kind of determined I had said, at least to myself, I'm going to fast this whole week. And about 3 days into the fast, I felt like I got a pretty good answer. So then my flesh is like, hey, we're good, buddy. Let's go, you know? And I don't know if you've ever been on a fast, but you know, while I'm fasting, I'm good. I'm not interested that much in food. I'm not interested in anything. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and I'm thinking, when I come off this fast, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm gonna do keto. I'm going to do And then the moment, I'm like, well, you know, I think some watermelon. That would be a good way to break the fast. You know, so you have a little watermelon. And your flesh is like, yeah, that's right. Okay, now, how about some eggs? You had eggs, now you might as well have bacon. You might as well, you know. And pretty soon, your flesh is like, yeah, bet me. You ain't doing this again. We're going to make sure. So that's why fasting is not a good way to maintain your weight. It's not a good way to even lose weight. Because the flesh, even, and it's just a great example of the power that's in your flesh. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. I mean, there are some, I'm sure, people that are better at it, but the flesh is still there. And in the moment that we are passive with the things of the flesh and we think that we've arrived, I mean, that's when we lose, because, you know, we have to, and it's not about being afraid of it, but it's about being aware. It's kind of like being aware of the enemy. Well, you have to be aware that he's there. Now, I'm not afraid of him. What's he going to do? You're going to kill me? Oh, go to heaven. You know, I mean, you know, come on. What's the worst that you're going to, and don't get me wrong, there's some terrible things that could happen, all that. I'm not discrediting that. I'm just saying that we don't walk in fear of it. We're just walking in awareness. And as we're trusting God with our life, as we're trusting God and as we're fasting, as we're praying, as we're worshiping, as we're meditating the Word of God, we also have to be aware that the Holy Spirit is there with us. He's teaching us. As a matter of fact, he's the one giving you the syllables as you're praying in other tongues. And so that's why for me, tongues is like it's the ultimate teaching that the Holy Spirit does. Because how can you lose? He's creating the language. The Bible says that they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when some of you don't know how to hear God or you haven't heard his voice, listen, how much closer to his voice can you get than him speaking through you? Maybe you don't understand it, but he's speaking through you. And if you do it long enough, you spend enough time, you're going to understand some things you didn't understand before. You know, and as a Christian, people tell me often that they, you know, I've never heard God speak to me. I said, well, either you're lying or he's lying. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, nobody comes to God except the Holy Spirit calls him. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. You're like, well, that's not his voice. Well, it is. You may not be an audible voice. You may never hear an audible voice. But there's that. But the Holy Spirit is drawing you. The Holy Spirit is guiding you. The Holy Spirit is pulling on you. And as we spend time with him, as we allow him to have a greater place in our life, then that becomes more real than the natural. And so that when we make our decisions, and you know, I'm still very aware of the things that happen on a daily basis so that I can make the corrections that need to be made or allow the Holy Spirit to make those corrections. Just yesterday, we came in from Oklahoma. We're tired. We had to get up really early, and our flights were real close together, and we're just kind of I had to take a shuttle to get to the rental car place, and I was tired and a little annoyed. And this person that's there is asking me all these questions about this rental, and they're saying things that I don't fully understand, and I'm starting to get frustrated, and I'm just like, just give me the car. You know, and I did all I needed to do to get it all that. And I'm not saying I necessarily did anything wrong, but I recognize it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, if I wanted to tell you something during that time, would you have heard me? And I don't know, because I was at my wits, I'm done. You know what I mean? I was just like, just give me the keys and let me get out of here. And we have to realize that those moments, they could be life-changing. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to show up with thunder and lightning to tell you something that could save your life. It could be something as simple as, don't get on the airplane. And could you imagine? What do you mean, don't get on the airplane? What are you talking about? But see, if we're sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, we recognize when it's him. And it's not just another thought, another fear that might be floating around inside of me. You know, maybe because I just saw a plane crash, now I don't want to get on the plane. No, that's not God. But there could be that moment that he just whispers to you. Are you going to hear it? Brother Hagin tells a story. A little boy, he's 5 years old, I think. He and his sister are in the back seat of a car. His mother and his father drive to this little airport. His dad's a preacher, Holy Ghost preacher. And he's going to a meeting. They're in a little airfield. He gets out of the car, gets in the airplane, starts the airplane up. The little boy wakes up. He said, Mommy, doesn't Daddy know that that plane's going to crash? And the plane crashed. Why didn't the preacher know that the plane was going to crash? And see, that was really what Brother Hagin was talking about, developing the human spirit. And he said, this little boy that probably not even to the age of accountability, he was sensitive to what the Spirit was saying, but here's a full-grown preacher that knows God. There had to have been an indication not to get on the plane. And it can be, it doesn't have to be a dramatic thing. The Holy Spirit wants to be able to whisper in your ear. He wants to be able to put his arm around you. He wants to be able to touch you without fear, without any condemnation, without any wondering, but just you go, oh, well, hey, that's what, when somebody says, how come you didn't go? Well, because that's what God said. And be able to be confident in it. You know, in my whole life in ministry, the Holy Spirit has used me in tongues and interpretation and prophecy in that realm. And really, I was the first person that I ever heard speak in tongues and interpret. I'd heard that it was possible, but I didn't really know very much about it. And when I'd just come out to Oklahoma, and I was really, at that time, just really dedicating my life to the Lord afresh, because, you know, I had some craziness in my life, and I was really saying, God, I want to serve you. And I knelt down by the side of my bed, and I spoke in tongues. I had actually been filled with the Holy Ghost when I was a little boy. My older brother, Doug, prayed with me. I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was speaking in tongues, but I didn't really know anything about it. I didn't exercise it. And sometimes as a teenager, I'd pray in tongues before I went to sleep just to make sure I was still saved. Because I knew that I wasn't living saved, so I wanted to just check, make sure he was still there. That's not a good thing. But anyway, but I had really dedicated my life to him, and I got down and prayed, and I spoke in tongues, and then I spoke in English. And the Lord said this. He says, I've chosen you. You're the one that I've chosen. And I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know if it was really God. There's all kinds of thoughts, like, who do you think you are? What do you mean, the chosen one? You know, all those things. But the Lord, I remember a man giving me a prophecy, and he said, you know, the Lord says, when you were little, there weren't people that chose you. You know, you're the last one that was picked at the, you know, during the schoolyard pick. And it's true. I was little, and I, you know, just wasn't that athletic, all those things. But he says, but the Lord says, I choose you. And you know, it did something to me, because my self-confidence wasn't very good. I just had a lot of fear, had a lot of things going on in my life, and God was slowly showing me that he loved me, and that he had chosen me, and that he had a plan for me. And so that was the first time I heard tongues and interpretation. And I would go to some of these prayer meetings with the Rhema students, because I wasn't a Rhema student, but my brother was, and I would go, and I'd go to some of their prayer meetings at their houses or apartments, and it's usually 10 or 12 of us, or maybe even less. And but God would start using me in tongues and interpretation, and I would tremble. I mean, I would jab, like, what is happening? And God really had to get my attention, because I didn't know that. I didn't understand it. But as I grew in the Lord, now I know when he wants to speak and when he just wants me to pray. I know when he's wooing me and leading me in a certain direction. I understand the things of the Spirit much better than I did when I was young. And that's the thing. We have to understand the God factor. Do you know my prophecies were not less when I was just born again than they are today? Less important. It wasn't less God. It wasn't like God wasn't speaking then as much as he's speaking now. So see, with the God factor, I could be immature. But if I know that I'm immature and I'm trusting in him and I'm allowing him to mature me, his grace will be on me to do whatever he wants to do. But the moment that we decide that we're more mature than what God has matured us to, then now we step out into some dangerous places. This is where you see people that do foolish things. Tulsa, Oklahoma, I don't know what it's like around here, but Tulsa, Oklahoma is the craziest spiritual place in the world, because there's been all kinds of big name preachers that have come, that have grown up through there. It's been a wonderful place in that arena. But there was a time when, you know, everybody's calling themselves an apostle or a prophet, and they would do these ridiculous things. I went to a meeting. It was at the ORU chapel. I don't remember who the pastor was, and I probably wouldn't tell you if I did. But he had a service where he said, if you come up here with $100 bill, I'll give you a word from the Lord. And I watched these people go up there, and they would give him money, and he would prophesy over them. But do you know that it's very possible that that was a true gift of prophecy? And what can happen is, if we're not mature in God, if we're not following the Spirit, we can manipulate the things of the Spirit to bring about our desires using spiritual gifts to do it. And it's, the Bible warns against this, and it calls it filthiness of spirit. This is my interpretation or my opinion of that, that I believe filthiness of spirit is when you use the power that's in your spirit to fulfill the desires that are in your flesh. And I've seen it happen. And I've watched people that have great ambition, and they'll use the power that's in their spirit. They'll use their own calling to fulfill the ambition of their own flesh. And they may build something great. It might be spectacular, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. And you see it over and over again, the failures that take place. And it's not because these are bad people. It's not because that they're, you know, that there's some demonic desire in their hearts. Now, it may end up that way, but I don't believe that any of them started that way. They had a pure desire. They wanted to see God do something. But what happens is they allowed their own ambition. They never put to death the ambition of their own flesh and their own desires, and they allowed that to be the driving force and the catalyst for their ministry. You can have a calling of God and still fulfill it or attempt to fulfill it in the flesh. What did Paul say? Come on, look, let's not start out in the spirit and end up in the flesh. Let's not do it. We've got to. Now, listen, there's times when you might start out. I want to be careful how I say this, but you might start out in the flesh or start out with your own discipline to get into the spirit. You might not feel like lifting your hands today, but you do it just out of your own discipline and your own desire, until the Holy Ghost, that anointing catches you, and you're like, oh yes, yes, Jesus, I do love you, I do worship you. Pastor Dave used to call it helium hands. You know, he said, just lift your hands up about half mass, and you do that for a little while, and pretty soon you're just going, oh wow, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. So there is times when we have to use our own discipline, and we have to discipline ourselves to get into the prayer closet. But we have to be careful that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one that's in control in every area of our life, including the ministry that we do, including the things that we do for God, including, as silly as it might sound, it's including your prayer time. Lord, I dedicate this time to you. It's not just an hour that I discipline myself to do, but Lord, this is an hour that you have your way in my life. This is and of course we always want him to have his way, but you know what I mean? It's that intimate time where you're saying, okay, God, we're closing the door. It's just you and me. Nobody's allowed in here. And it's in, if we don't have those moments, then just ever so slyly, ever so subtly, the flesh creeps in, and it's like, well, you know, I know it's prayer time, but don't you think you ought to be ministering to this person over here? Don't you think you ought to be doing this or doing that? And it might even sound like good things. And sometimes it is good things. It might even be necessary things. But when we are willing to sacrifice the things that we in our flesh consider necessary for the things of the Spirit, that's when we're sowing to the Spirit. And that's where we can reap that life. You might think, and it may look in the natural like there's an easier way, that there's a faster way, that there's a more appropriate way. But when we are willing to sacrifice our own ideas, the Bible says this, it says that there's a way that seems good unto man, but the end of it is destruction. And there might be ways, listen, there's been many times I'm just thinking if I'm supposed to say this. So I'm just checking here. But there's been, I'll say it like this. Over the years, I thought I would be in Africa. You know, I mean, I'm 52 years old. I was 30 years old when the Lord spoke that to me. I've given you the continent of Africa. I've had some people tell me 52. That's when people start thinking about retirement. I said, well, you know, maybe some people do. But I just talked to a man that's in Tanzania. He's been there for 52 years. And he was visiting Oklahoma on his way back. So, you know, he's not anywhere. Retirement is not even a thought for him. And I don't care what people, you know, if you want to retire, retire, whatever. But that's not what's important in my life. What's important is that we do what the will of the Father is. And like I said, I thought for sure we'd be. As a matter of fact, there were several times that we tried to go to Africa. We attempted to do. All of our kids got their shots. Everybody got their passports. We're all ready to go. And, you know, it just didn't happen. I don't want to really speculate as to what happened there, but I do know that much of that was just that we were not prepared. See, there's a lot of times that we, you know, I went to school and they taught us that the shortest distance between two places is a straight line. And so, you know, if I wanted to go to that chair and sit down in that chair, the most logical thing is I walk over to this chair and I sit down. And so when God says, I've given you the continent of Africa, well, I mean, the most logical thing is you get a passport, you get some money together and you go to Africa. How else are you going to do that? But do you know, I may be on my way, like I'm going to go there, and the Holy Ghost says, no, I want you to go this way. And then he might say, I want you to go this way. And you're going, in your mind, you're like, but God, it's over there. Do you not realize that it's on the other side of where you're telling me to go? It's the opposite direction. And for us, that's really what was happening. And so one day God connected me with a man in a little city called Cushing, Oklahoma. Cushing is a little tiny town, about 8,000 people. And this man was an old retired farmer. And I'm like, I'll go to Cushing, but you know that Cushing's not any closer to Africa than Tulsa. It's not even in the right direction, you know. But when I got there, when I got to know this man, his name's Glenn Holder Reed, and Glenn had a 30-year relationship with the director of a place called Dove Africa in Kenya, Africa. And he brought me there in 2009. And when Glenn brought me, he was an older man. And it's the last time that he went to Kenya. He's still alive today, but he's well into his 80s. And the Lord told me, he says, when he brings you, he's a father bringing his son. And that's how we were received, you know. And that's really today the relationships that I have are because of Glenn. And the things that we're able to do there are because of what he did. Things that I never would have been able to do. And see, when it might look like it's taking longer when we follow the Holy Spirit and we follow his plan and we take the path that he puts before us. But when we're truly trusting in his abilities and not our own, then we begin to see his plan unfold in our life. And I believe that's what's happening. I had some other scriptures, but I'm not going to go there tonight. Today, there is a prophecy that the Lord gave me early this year, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share it or not. I hadn't planned. It wasn't in my notes or anything, but the Lord reminded me of it this morning, and I believe he wants me to share it. So I'm going to share that with you before we close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. The God factor. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. So this was a prophetic word that I received January the 7th of 2026. And the reason I was a little hesitant to share, because I felt like it was something the Lord was speaking to me, but I do believe it applies to the body. So I'll share this. As I was drifting into sleep one evening, the Lord gave me a vivid picture. I saw myself pushing a massive boulder up a steep hill. The boulder was so large that I could not see what lay ahead, only what was directly in front of me. I knew one thing with certainty. I had to keep pushing. If I stopped, the boulder would roll back and crush me. Then the perspective shifted. From another angle, I could see that I was nearly at the top of the hill. Instantly, I understood the crest of the hill represented 2026. With one final push, the boulder crossed the summit and began to roll downward on its own. From that moment forward, nothing I did could stop it. It moved with unstoppable force, clearing everything in its path, no longer dependent on my strength or effort. Then the Lord began to speak. You have pressed. You have obeyed. You have endured testing. You have done everything you know to do. For many years, it has felt like everything was uphill. All you could see was what stood directly in front of you. You faced each challenge as it came, praying, fasting, believing, and remaining faithful. Yet the circumstances did not seem to change. The difficulty remained. But now the Lord says, I've received your works. I've received your patience. I've received your obedience. In the months ahead, you'll experience a grace upon your life that no person can withstand. It's a grace you cannot earn. No one can take it from you, and no one can give it to you. It flows from my will alone. There will be an ease, a divine flow of my spirit, where you will move naturally in step with what I'm doing. It may feel as though you've entered a new level in your relationship with me, but understand, this is a moment I have appointed. This is a time when I will reveal myself powerfully in the earth. Do not become complacent in this season. Use this grace to strengthen your faith and deepen your walk with me. Flow with my spirit, not only to build and steward the work I've entrusted you to, but also to draw nearer to my presence. Let my love, my strength, and my grace open the door to deeper revelation, greater understanding, and closer communion with me. Use this season to study and to show yourself approved. Much will occur in 2026. Some will say, this is the end. Some will claim this is the moment when the church will be removed. But I say, this is the hour when the church will shine. This is the time when my body will impact the earth like never before. I will move through those who trust me, and I will show the world why the church is needed, why my body must remain upon the earth. Many will be saved. There will be unusual conversions, even among those in high places. Public figures will openly confess that Jesus is Lord. Some will do so for appearance, but others will experience genuine transformation. There will be opposition. World leaders will resist the moves of my spirit. Some will do so out of ignorance. Others will knowingly oppose what I'm doing in the earth. Those who set themselves against me will be removed swiftly and decisively, just as the boulder swept away everything in its path. One day they'll be present, the next gone. I'm doing a quick work, and you'll see quick results. Do not squander what I place in your hands during this season. Use it to store up strength, clarity, and purpose for the days ahead. For even as I pour my spirit, a great darkness is also approaching. What you do with the grace I'm offering now will determine how you stand when that darkness comes. Do not be afraid. I am giving you everything you need to stand, to overcome, and to prevail over all that lies ahead. Receive what I'm offering in this season and prepare for war. Hallelujah. Now, I'm very cautious in saying some of these things because I've never been one to give prophetic warnings or, my goodness, praise the Lord. I remember the week of 9/11 of 2001 when we had the attacks on the World Trade Center. Dave Roberson stood in the pulpit that Sunday. And he said, watch the news this week. And I don't remember exactly the words, but it was that type of a warning. It's at the end of the service. And he was just prompted, you know, that there's something coming. Last week, the Lord really called me into a time of prayer. You know, Dave said that he saw entire cities on fire, and he saw different something similar to martial law. And of course, we've seen a lot of those things over the years since then. Anyway, but as I was praying last week, I began to see explosions, and I was asking the Lord, you know, is this things of the Spirit? But I don't believe it was things of the Spirit. I believe these were explosions. And it wasn't like big, huge explosions like what we had seen on these major attacks. But I saw small, multiple explosions. And I could hear gunfire. But I will say this. There was no fear. I don't say this as a warning, really. I say it more as a opportunity, because what I believe is happening is the enemy is doing everything he can to bring fear to the people of the United States, to bring fear to, and not only the people of the United States, but that's really what I sense in my spirit is that it's something at home. That the enemy wants to bring this fear, and it's going to be an opportunity for us to stand and to shine as the body of Christ. So we have opportunity for us to show who Jesus is on the earth. And it's a time where we stand with the revelation and the acknowledgement and the understanding of who Christ is in us, so that when others see us, they go, I got to have what you have. I don't know how you're doing it, but I have to have it. So I say that soberly and gently. I don't, again, it's not a, I don't say it as a warning as much as a encouragement to be prepared, because the world needs us. Your neighbors need you. The church needs us. And I believe that we've been hidden away. We've been in preparation. We've been in training. We've been like how the army will take troops and will send them to isolated places where no one knows where they are. No one is afraid of them because they're just, they don't even know they're there. But see, that's what God has been doing with the prayer center, the people of the prayer center, the people of this message, those that are listening. He's been preparing us, and he's taken us into a time of hiddenness where we can receive the revelation that he has for us. And he's developed that on the inside of us, that it might become not only a platform that we stand on, but that it becomes a part of who we are. So that it's no longer just something that we have mentally assented to, something that we have agreed with, but this message and this truth of who Christ is and all that he has put within that message, it has become a part of us, to the place that when the world touches you, that's what comes out. That message comes out. And so as he has taken us into the hidden places, now it's a time where that which we have received will be brought to the light. It's like I believe God is uncovering the message that we've received. Of course, when Dave wrote this book, the Lord told him, he said, that the message has come to maturity, and that the body of Christ needs this. And help me, Holy Spirit. What I see happening . There have been great men of God that have gone on to be with Jesus, especially in recent years, that brought a tremendous, powerful message to the body of Christ. And once they're gone, many times the message begins to wane. And where you had once heard, I'm trying to say this in a way where I'm not really mentioning people, but where you once heard great faith, it's now watered down. Or at times where you would have expected someone to speak in faith, they're speaking other words. And I don't believe that's happened with this message, but I believe that there's a awareness we need to have, that we don't allow this message to wane, that we don't allow that which Dave Roberson and Gary and Bronk and Jim and all of these men who have diligently taught and brought the message to us, that we don't allow it to get weaker, but we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to breathe on it. And like Dave said, he said, show me your dust. The way that we honor the men that have gone before us as we go and we do greater than they've done. We take it farther than they took it. We allow it to change us in a way that they had not yet seen. Dave said this. He said, as he used the scripture about the sower overtaking the reaper. He says, what's taken me 30 years to do, you get to do right now. And that's the God factor. God has taken this message that's been in the earth for decades, and he's compressed it and he's shoved it right inside of you. And you and I get to reap the benefits of it and walk in the fullness of it and take it to the next place that God wants to take us. We can't look back and say, I want to be like Dave Roberson. I mean, there is a honor in that. That's okay, but it's not there. I want to go beyond that. You know, many times I hear people saying, like, you know, what happened to the people like Kenneth Hagin or, you know, Oral Roberts or whoever it might be. It's fine to honor them and remember the great things they did, but instead of trying to get back to that, let's go on to the next thing. Let's see what God's doing next. Let's catch the next wave of his spirit. Let's see where he's taking us in this season and allow him to rise up and bring the next generation into the kingdom. We need the next Dave Roberson. You know, we need the next. I'm not honoring, I'm honoring him, but I'm not worshiping the man. I'm just saying that what God did through him, he'll do through you. He'll do through me. He'll take us into the world around us. You may never go to Africa, but you're right here in Immokalee, Florida. And as we confess here, you know, Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. If Jesus is Lord over your life, if you're in revival, then we ought to look like it. It ought to be, people should see you and be like, what is it about you? And you can say, well, because Jesus is Lord over my life. I'm living in revival. And your whole world might be falling apart around you, but you're still in revival. See, our peace and the settling of the Holy Ghost is not determined by our circumstances. Everything could be, you know, seem like it's being trashed around you. And you can still worship God. You can still be just as settled, just as full of his peace, just as content as when everything's going right. When I was laying in that bed in Kenya, my head had been split open and I'm bleeding into my pillow. My wife doesn't even know that I'm hurt. In that setting, the Holy Ghost showed up. And while I'm laying there bleeding, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I began to prophesy. And through tongues and interpretation, the Lord said, you will not die in this place. He said, this is not the end. You'll continue on with your trip. You'll preach with power. And I'm with you. You know, I got up out of that bed. I went to the emergency room. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this is the God factor. I went to that emergency room. They stitched me up. One of the pastors came there. And he had this hat on. I said, brother, I need a hat like that. He took his hat off and put it on my head. And I went out and preached. That night, I was preaching with a bandage on my head and a hat on top of it. And, you know, people came from other villages. They came from other places. They said, we heard on the radio that there were some missionaries that got attacked. And they came there and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. People got saved. People got healed. And God had his way in that situation, even though it was one of the worst things that I've ever faced in my life. Probably was the worst thing we faced in our ministry. And I pastored a church for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. It was even worse than that, but no, I'm just using that. Teresa knows what I mean. We had some interesting times, but anyway, but God will have his way in the midst of any situation. So whatever is to come. And just be aware and be ready to give an account, to be able to speak the truth, what God has done in your life, to be a light to these people who are afraid. And you know what? If you're one of those people that's afraid, don't be afraid to come here. Don't be afraid to reach out to your brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid to call your pastor. Don't be afraid to admit that you need something, because that's the trick of the enemy, is try to get you isolated and say, well, you know, nobody else is going through what you're going through, brother. You know, and you shouldn't be acted that way. Why are you afraid? You shouldn't be afraid. You can't tell them you're afraid. You know, you can't. But that's how the enemy tries to isolate you and remove you from the body. So if you need something, listen, we're here. The body of Christ is here. Your pastor is here. Your brothers and sisters are here. Hallelujah. To stand with you. And know that Teresa and I, we are standing with you. We may not have met some of you before, but we pray for you. We pray for you on a regular basis. And there's a group in Tulsa that's praying for you. Every week, they're praying for you. And sometimes we're there and sometimes we're not, but they're there every week praying and standing. And we're in this together. And we're going to see the deaf kids here. We're going to see the blind eyes open. We're going to see the miracles take place. And along the way, the path is just as sovereign. God is just as interested in the path that we're taking right now as He is the destination. And He's with you every step of the way and teaching you all the way along it, and treating you as though you're already there, as long as you're willing to go. He's treating you as though you're already free, even if you're going through something difficult, even if you're bound by some kind of, even if it's sin that's in your life, if you hate it and you're doing everything you know to get rid of it, God is there with you. He's walking with you. He's helping you. He's assisting you. He's pouring Himself into you. So stand strong. Know that God is with you. He's revealing you to the world around you. You are His light. You are His ambassadors. And if I can say it this way, He's proud of you. He sees you not as just anybody, but you're His ambassador, His child. He's in love with you. Amen. Let's stand up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Excuse me. Father, I just thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word today. Thank You, Father, for this message, for the prayer center. Thank You for Pastor Bronk and Candy and those that have attached themselves to this message and have allowed You to have Your way in their lives. And Lord, today we just surrender ourselves to You. We trust You, that You'll take us to the next place that You have for us, that You will launch the ministry that You desire in this place and in the lives of those who are attached to it, Lord. Father, I pray for every need that's represented in this house today. Lord, I'm asking You to meet every need, to heal, Kita la marroco satanta di asta. Hallelujah. If you need something from the Lord, I'm not going to lay hands on you, but I'm just going to ask you, just lift your hands up to him for a moment. Just receive. Father, we thank you that you supply every need according to your riches and glory. You've provided healing, Lord. You've provided freedom and grace. And so we just call upon that today, Lord. I pray, Father, that you just release that anointing, that grace to every person, that for every need, for every situation. We call it complete, completely healed, completely provided, completely made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And Father, for everything that you've done here today and all that you're going to do, we're just so grateful, so thankful, and we're so careful, Lord, to give you the glory, the honor, the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, listen, it's only 12:10, so we did good. We did good. So thank you so much. I really appreciate all of you. Thank you for allowing us to be here and just receive what the Holy Spirit has for you. Pastor, I'll give it back to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, amen. We've been to Africa, but we're going to... I just want to let you know, I want you to hear this today and put this in your heart, and I'm just contemplating how the Lord wants to go with this, because I believe we really need to be a part of it. And so I'm going to ask you to... You can give today by just... If you want to give online, Vanco or PayPal, just send it into the church and note that it's for Hans. Or as you're going out, if you want to fill out something and place it in, just put Hans so it doesn't get mixed up with the rest. And we'll make sure all that goes. But then there'll be another offering. But please, if he's speaking today, don't say, well, I'm going to do it later on, and then you forget. So sometime before they go to Africa, we're going to take up a special offering for them. So they're going to have something as well. And as if the Holy Spirit speaks you to get involved in their ministry on a monthly basis, somebody says $4,000 a month, $4,000 a month nowadays is nothing. It really is. I mean, people are, that's just bare bones. And, so praise God. So I'm going to pray. Please listen. If the Lord says do something today, please do it. Put it in an offering envelope so we'll know, because there's probably other, unless I don't think that box has been emptied yet or whatever. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this message today and your grace upon their life. Thank you that Immokalee gets to go to Africa today.